Welcome back to the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 94. Thank you so much for joining us as we head into the home stretch, not just of the year, but of closing on episode one, closing in on episode 100. I think we actually went and looked, and episode 100 will drop on New Year's Eve. That's not intentional. Yep. I think we've missed 2 weeks separately. Like, we missed a week 1 week and missed a week. So, like, if we hadn't done that, episode 100 would just be on, like, January 14th or something, like, random.
Something lame.
But it's going to work out well. Episode 100 will drop on New Year's Eve. Hopefully, we have some big things in store for that. We are still working out the details on that. But anyway, thank you for joining us for episode 94. As you see in the title bar, we're talking about something that a lot of young men think about, I'm sure. Just, should you start your own business is kind of what we're talking about with this episode, and the ins and the outs of starting your own business. And hopefully, this will be a valuable episode because you're going to get two different perspectives. Joe has amazingly done a phenomenal job for himself and has started his own business. So you'll get that wonderful perspective from him. And then as far as myself goes, I have not. I work for somebody else. I work in somebody else's business. But obviously the thought of entrepreneurship or entrepreneurialism, that's a tough word to say, intrigues me a lot. And so, again, two different perspectives there hopefully will be really good. But as you think about that, as Joe, as we get started, it is tough to get a job these days, in some instances, at least tough to get a good job. Like, yep. I think there's always going to be entry-level jobs that people can get, but as far as, like, the high, well-paying jobs, good benefits, those are really tough to come by. And so there is a growing trend towards entrepreneurialism. Obviously, a lot of the big-name influencers that people are following on social media are entrepreneurs and, self-made billionaires and that kind of thing. And so, obviously, that all starts, for the most part, with starting your own business. And so I think a lot of young men are excited at that thought and then also overwhelmed at that thought. Yeah. And I think there's valid reasons for both. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. Joe, what introductory thoughts do you have for this?
Yeah, I think the reason why it's a growing trend among young men, in my opinion, is social media, and I think it's YouTube. A lot of people want to be YouTubers, right? And even if that's playing video games, that still is running your own business, calling your own shots. You're not beholden to anybody, things like that. We're going to get into some of those things a little bit later, but I think that's why it's growing is, yes, it's a very tough hiring environment. And so people look around going, man, it'd be nice if I just did my own thing and didn't have to worry about the hiring environment. I am coming from a background of, yes, I do own my own private practice, but my dad actually owned a business in Denver for nearly 40 years. Started from the ground up, started with him and one other guy. I think it was just him, and then got another guy and grew it to, I think they had 60, 65 employees by the time. He had grown it into a multi-million dollar business. And so I got to watch all of the phases of entrepreneurship and all the good and all the bad as we grew, and your dad as well.
Yeah, he's a business
owner. He's, he owns his own business. He's actually started two. He started Focus Press and then his Cabin Coffee, which is a franchise, but he's doing it from the ground up.
He's the business owner, right?
He's the business owner. So we do have this experience from us being the kids, watching this grow. But then also that's something that a lot of the things we're going to discuss today is what I saw and what drew me to entrepreneurship and starting my own business. And so we're going to look at reasons for starting your own business. We're also going to look at some things to consider. I think a lot of people jump headlong into it and go, man, this is for me. You want to pump the brakes on that for a second. You want to consider a few of these things. And then just some advice we'd give, I think, how to get started. Some things that we are not the experts. We're not going to say that. Like, I don't own a billion-dollar business. There's bazillion and one places on YouTube if you want to go and get advice from somebody that's a billionaire.
Grant Cardone and people like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are people willing to offer that. So we are not coming from the experts. More about us just discussing what we think might help, especially from a Christian perspective. We are very big into hardworking, working hard and working unto the Lord. And I think there are some great things about this.
Well, and I would imagine most young men at some point are going to wrestle with this question of, should I start? Like, and a lot of you won't, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But it is a question I think a lot of young guys have, again, especially in this environment. One thing that I would caution, and this might be kind of getting ahead on this outline a little bit, but one thing I would caution young men about is it's very easy to look at the successful business owner and go, man, he's got such a cush life. He's got such an easy life. Man, I want to get there. And it's like, I think a lot of young men don't actually think about all the hard work that goes into it. Of like, yeah, he gets to kind of float and make his own schedule and maybe not put in a ton of hours now. What about 20 years ago? We're gonna talk a lot about that, but I would just caution young men not to look at business owners and think, man, they sure do have it really easy.
Yeah, or the quick way to money. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the case. And we'll get into that, but that was just a caution. So let's talk about the reasons for starting our own business, starting your own business. I'll hit the first one, Joe, and then pass it to you. You get to pursue your passion. That's something that I think, it's the cliche saying now, I guess, of of learning to love what you do and all those things. But
never work a day in your life.
Yeah, right? That's what it is. You never work a day in your life if you love what you do. And I do think that's true. And that's one of the things about working for somebody else, working in a job maybe that you just kind of feel like you kind of have to pay the bills. It's like that can make for a long week, long days if you don't truly love it. And there, I think there is something to be said for sometimes just sticking it out and working even though it's not what you love to do. But man, with starting your own business, Joe, again, this is something you can speak better to than I can. It's a passion, and so it makes it less work. It's still work, but it's something that's like I get to pursue doing what I love. You know, there's a maybe somewhat of a thread of chasing your dreams a little bit, and that part's really cool.
Yeah, every minute that you put into the business is working towards something that you have envisioned, working toward a dream of yours, rather than I'm working really hard at my job, you know, and you may be great. You work for Chick-fil-A, right? But if you wanted to do something, you can establish your own legacy at Chick-fil-A, but like there are going to be things where if you wanted to do it outside of Chick-fil-A, every minute you spend there is something taking away from the other thing you really want to do.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, I feel like if what you want to do is your job, then every minute is kind of putting toward it. It's not, okay, I have work and it takes away from what I really want to do. It's like, no, work is what I really want to do. And so pursuing your passion becomes a lot easier. There's also difficulty when pursuing your passion is for photography or whatever. And maybe you're not making a ton. There are some people that make a ton. There are a lot of people that don't. So you got to be careful with some of those things. Again, we're going to get into some things to consider. But the second thing we have on the list is you don't have to be beholden to anybody. You work for you. Nobody's going to fire me from my job. Now I could get sued as a therapist. Obviously, that's why I carry malpractice, and Lord willing, that does not take place. But I don't have to worry about getting fired tomorrow or answering to somebody for the hours. Yeah, I talk to my clients, but that's way different than having to talk to a boss about some of these things. The next one I have on here is, you know, you work your own hours. You make your own schedule. That's not always as nice as it's cracked up to be, I suppose. But yes, you do work your own hours. So I get to, when I go on vacation, I don't have to work. I don't have to take vacation pay either. When you come back, you only got 2 more weeks of vacation. If I wanted to vacation 5 times a year, I could. I just have to be really smart on the money because money's not coming in. Weeks, exactly. Yeah. I don't get paid. Clients don't pay me just for not showing up. So some things to consider, and we're going to get a little more into that there. But yes, you get to work your own hours. I think that's a massive part of starting your own business is you don't answer to anybody. You're beholden to yourself, and you make your own schedule.
Yeah, the next one you got on here is it's a meritocracy in the sense of like it's kind of dependent. The success of the business is kind of dependent on how hard you're willing to work and what kind of employees you hire and what decisions you make. And you know, you've got on here, there's no DEI with it. It is true. Like it's, if you're going to own your own business, a lot of it just comes down to how hard are you willing to work? Are you a good decision maker? Do you hire the right people? All these things that it's kind of like when you go to the gym and you can either lift the weight or you can't. It's the ultimate like tell. Of,
that's
like,
exactly it.
Are you strong or are you not? Can you lift, can you bench press this much or can you not? I think similarly with a business, it's going to succeed or fail, obviously, based on the owner and how hard the owner is willing to work. And so the cool thing about that is you get to bet on yourself. If you know I'm going to be able to make this successful, you get to bet on yourself and you get to see the fruitful results of that. It's really cool.
That can also kick you in the gut.
It's a lot of mental stress, I would add. Yeah.
It's a lot more stressful in my opinion than, you know, but I haven't been on the other side that much. So you have your own stressors that I couldn't begin to imagine because you are answering to other people that you got a lot more people relying on you than I do at your job. So there's, the stress is different, but yes, ultimately it comes down to meritocracy. I don't have to worry about, you know, outside sources or outside forces, I should say, coming in as much as if I work really hard. You know, and if I'm, and it's not like, okay, you work hard and it's the golden ticket and all of a sudden it goes, well, there's a lot of people that work hard and go bankrupt. At the same time, your hard work is usually working towards something rather than working for somebody where your hard work is taken for granted. You never move up or you're waiting for that dollar an hour raise. Whereas potentially, and this is the next one on the list, the sky is the limit. That's a bit idealistic.
A little cheesy.
A little cheesy saying sky's the limit. But genuinely, if I want to go out and make good money, I could work 100-hour weeks theoretically. For you at Chick-fil-A, if you want to make good money, they're capping your pay, right? You are obviously going to move up, you're going to make good money, but the infinite amount of
I think the way I would describe it is there's more of a ceiling, or there's less of a ceiling.
Less of a ceiling, there you go. So is the sky the limit? There are going to be some jobs you work where as a photographer, I suppose there's bazillionaire photographers, good for them, but yeah, there's a ceiling there as to what you're going to hit. At the same time, if you want to take on one more client or you want to get really good at a specific type of thing, you can grow a lot faster than somebody who is working as an employee somewhere where they're really good at their job and they are moving up into the company. That's going to create a lot more stability, but it's going to be, there's a cap on it, I suppose.
Yeah. The next one I would add, because we want to spend a lot of time also on like just kind of things to consider in this question of should you start your own business, but legacy, something to leave for your kids. This is, as we've had episodes surrounding legacy before, we generally think of it more in the moral sense, in the leaving something spiritual, a spiritual type of legacy. Joe, you put this one on here. I don't want to talk here. I'm curious to hear your perspective on this. This is obviously, you're not really talking about spiritual legacy here. You're talking something much more tangible, physical. I'm assuming you're talking about kind of passing a business on and maybe the fruits of the business more so to your kids.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the Dominion mandate of, you take control of something, and yes, you can pass on to your kids. None of us went into the underground water and sewer business like my dad started. We did not take it over. We are going to benefit, and we have majorly benefited from the fruits of that. But more than anything, his legacy is cemented in the fact that for 40 years, he has been a premier name in Denver, and they're one of the biggest for what they do, and their reputation is sterling. That continues. So when I walk back into, when I go back home to Denver, I know the name Apex Plumbing does mean something in the town. There is a legacy there that he started, and they're kind of ruining it from the people he sold it to. But that's his own decision. He's in retirement and making good, he made good money, and good for him. But the legacy comes in multiple forms. Your dad is known as, his legacy is, Focus Press is a big name. You guys have produced more content in the last 20 years than anybody in the Brotherhood. There's a legacy to that. And can we, is it $1 million coming in every day? No, that's not the point. The legacy is, we did something amazing that mattered, that stuck with people, that had weight and gravitas to it, so that people are going to be talking about Focus Press here in 50 years and know that Brad Harrop started it. Lord willing, right? That's the goal here, is we're growing this up. And that is a testament to your dad. And so that's more of what I had in mind with legacy, and he will be able to pass it on to you if you want to take the mantle.
Exactly. Hit the last one, then I've got one thing I want to say before we get to the things.
Yeah, the last one is, it is scary, as we'll get into with the things to consider just here in a second. It is scary, but it's really exciting. Things are constantly moving. It's just a very fast-paced thing. And I put this one on here to kind of move into things to consider, because there's two sides of that coin. It is very exciting, and that's a reason to start your own business. Constant excitement, that means there's a lot of stress too. There's a lot of scariness too.
One thing I want to say as we get into this things to consider is this is not for everybody. It is absolutely not for everyone. And so this is not one of those episodes where, I firmly believe that getting married and having kids is for everybody. I firmly believe that if you're a godly man, you should work out. You should have a good financial plan. I don't believe that starting your own business is for everyone. And I think it's one of those things, like, if it was easy and if it was for everybody, everybody would do it, and everybody does not for a reason. I have worked for two incredible bosses for incredible companies throughout, I've worked for more than that, but two really great bosses. One was back with Amazon and one I work for now. There is a chance that maybe you find a company and you find a boss who just treats you really, really well. You've got good benefits. You can make a good amount of money. You can have a great life with your family. I don't want our listeners to look at that and see that as a bad thing.
Like, yeah, I agree.
Like, that's a great thing. If that's something that, again, you can make good money, you've got, which I would consider myself in that boat right now. I work for somebody who's great, treats me and my family better than we deserve, and I really, really appreciate the job I have. I don't want any listeners to go into, I don't want them to have that situation and go, man, I just need to start my own business, I agree with that. You know what I mean?
Like, I agree with that.
I think there needs to be a level of self-awareness to know, hey, if you can start your own business and if you're able to deal with all these things that we're about to talk about and you think you can go make something of yourself, go do it. That is fantastic. Yeah. But, don't give up a good situation unless you're pretty sure, is I guess what I would say. And don't take for granted what you have. I guess that's the warning I wanted to give.
I think that's a great warning, because that gets us into some of these things. Yeah. This is things to consider. First, this is not the safe option. This is not the safe path. Stability is very difficult in this. Will has a lot more stability than I do. If clients stop calling me tomorrow, I'm broke. I mean, it just, I have
Well, you to were really it. Worried about the economy, like with, oh, the, yeah. with the election, the economy going down, if people
Absolutely,
couldn't afford.
Absolutely, because with what I charge, this is a luxury. I'm very aware of therapy being a luxury. whereas other jobs and bigger companies are going to be able to provide stability. You work for Chick-fil-A, there's going to be stability. The economy will hurt, but at the end of the day, if you are high enough, Lord willing, right? I mean, there's stability to that job, benefits, things like that. And I had that on here for the safe path. There are no benefits. I don't get health coverage. I pay for that myself. There is no vacation pay. If I don't work, I don't get paid. There's no guaranteed paycheck coming at the end of the week. Like, I've had some tough paychecks because I had, you know, 13 clients cancel in a week because, oh, well, XYZ.
That hits the bank account.
That hits the bank account. Like, that actually hits, right? That hurts. There's no 401k. Now, you can work your way up into being a big enough company where you offer those things, but there is no 401k. You have to put that in yourself, starting the IRA or starting your own 401k, whatever it may be. Like, there's not just going
to be a company thing. You have to be a lot more self-sufficient.
Correct. Taxes are another one I have on here, or that I don't have on here, but that's another thing. You pay a significant amount in taxes because you're not paying Social Security through your employer. Something else to consider, your tax bill is a lot higher. So even this first one, I think if you are not drawn toward risks, which I'll let you get into that in a bit, but if you're not drawn toward risk, if you're not drawn toward, you know, your passion is so worth it that you're willing to put up with this, this is something to consider. And there's nothing wrong with taking the stable option because the world goes round by people taking the stable option. If nobody took that option, if nobody said, hey, somebody's got to be the stability here. And especially if you own your own business, my dad owned his own business. That means 64 people under him
chose not to start their own.
And thank goodness, because otherwise he'd have no business. So there's no, to Will's point, I don't want anybody thinking that this is better or you're better than anybody else. No, it is a different option out there. A lot of young men are kind of being drawn toward it. There's some serious things to consider. And if you're going to be drawn toward it and you're not willing to consider some of these things, I would strongly suggest you don't. Legitimately.
Yeah. The health insurance, the vacation pay, the 401k, like, those are things I think a lot of people don't think about.
Right.
Like, you work for, again, somebody who's great and or a great company like I do. Those things are typically provided as a benefit for you working there that you start your own business you don't have. I mean, that you're having to pay for. You're having to foot the bill for everything. Oh, yeah. I realize, sorry, I jumped your economy point there. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? I think that's pretty significant as well.
I mean, just the beholden to the economy. Okay, I may not be beholden to an employer who could fire me. If the economy hits, which is exactly what you said, I was very worried about the presidency. Because if the economy goes, guess what? The first thing to leave it. Nobody's paying for therapy. I don't have money. I want to be able to afford eggs and bread and milk.
Yeah.
I don't have $150. Yeah, exactly. I want to have a roof over my head. I don't have $150 to go spend, you know, on therapy. Yeah, that's legit. I wouldn't do it either. I'd probably cut myself out. So the economy, you are beholden on that. It's not just therapy. I mean,
people are just less willing to spend money.
That's exactly it. It's tough.
Yeah. So I was going to go ahead and get us into the next thing. Both of us can speak to this one, obviously Joe more so with being the business owner here, but things to consider, you can forget about the 40-hour work week. Yep. We've talked about this before that, and again, I'll say if you can find a job where you can support your family and do very well for yourself on 40 hours, that's the goal, or that's awesome, that's a great goal to have. If you start your own business, specifically in the early years as you're building it up, 40-hour work weeks are a joke. They're a punchline for you. Like, they just don't happen. You have to be ready to, this is the next thing, you have to be ready to make sacrifices. There's a lot of sacrifice that comes with this. Again, I should probably not be the one talking here, but I know business owners. Again, the guy that I work for, my dad, Joe, Mr. Brian, like all these people, like there is no, all right, it's 5 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and clock out for the day or, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take my hour lunch break. Like these are things that there are a lot of benefits, like the making your own schedule and things like that with starting your own business. And this is just one of those things that you have to, now, if you can scale it up to the point where you're not doing all the work, maybe working less than 40 hours, that's great. A lot of young men don't think about that part,
right?
You know, they that's all they think about, I should say. They don't think about the 80 hour weeks, the 90 hour weeks, the 12, 15, 16 hour days that business owners have to do to kind of start their business. That's a really big thing to consider.
A lot of young guys looked at Mr. Beast and they're like, oh yeah, I want to be Mr. Beast. People have no idea how much that guy works. I mean, I remember him telling the story that he would work for like 3 straight days without sleeping. And then he'd sleep for like 15 hours and then get up and just work and work and work and work. Mm-hmm. All he thought about was how to make YouTube videos and how to work. So yes, he's a big deal. He makes millions of dollars. Good for him. This did not come because of a 40-hour work week. The guy was literally working over 100-hour weeks on honing his craft, being as good at that as possible. Something to consider. Another thing I don't have on here, I forgot to put on here. You got to be willing to wear multiple hats.
That's a good one.
You know, you have to, you can't just be, well, I'm really good at this. Yeah, but you also have to be a secretary. You got to take calls. I mean,
you got
to
be good financially with a budget and stuff like that.
Correct. I mean, I think about from my, and I'm very basic compared to obviously other businesses you could start, but Yeah, I mean, I got to talk to clients. I got to be good at therapy, but I also have to be good at scheduling, and I have to be good at all of the intake paperwork. And I have clients ask me, can you fill this out? Can you do that? So you got to know how to do all of those things. And so you're doing a lot of secretary work. I just had somebody ask me, can you fill out VA forms for she's a veteran. Can you fill this out for me? So now I got to go do all the notes and fill out all the VA paperwork. And then on the scheduling end. And then there's also the taking phone calls at 11 p.m. And there's like, you're wearing a lot of different hats. That does, yeah, there's other hats that, you know, as like you said, budget wise and marketing, and how am I going to be able to market myself, and salesmanship. Like, there are
kind of an endless level of things.
Right. That me. That's one company, one small little company that means nothing. Imagine starting a company from that isn't therapy based.
Like your dad with 60 employees. Goodness gracious.
You have to be willing to. So my dad was great at tobacco, but he's also great at a lot of other things. And the things he wasn't great at, he was reading business books and figuring out how to get great at that, because he turned white collar somewhere along the way. He wasn't a white collar guy. He loved being in the hole. He loved, you know, getting down there with a tobacco and everything else. You got to wear multiple hats. If you don't know how to do that, if you can't multitask, things like that, it may be a challenge, and that it's just something to consider. Again, yep. These are things to consider. The other one that I had on here is just, and I spoke to this already, be ready to take risks. There's a lot of risk involved with starting your own business. There's no easy way to put that other than there are going to be times where everything is on the line. And if you make this decision, and I saw this with my dad more than me, we need a backhoe or we need a dump truck. We can't make it without a dump truck. Yeah, that's like $50,000. We don't have that in the bank. We're going broke if we don't. And so we're going to put our house up. We're going to hawk our house so as to be able to pay for this. And yeah, that's going to put us in financial ruin right now. We're going to work hard enough to make it happen. And he did. I mean, my dad had to do that a couple times throughout the 40 years just to get enough money. A massive risk. If that's anything crazy, had gone wrong, we would be on the street and I wouldn't be on this podcast probably talking to you.
And this is one of those things, if I'll add in my perspective here, that thought scares me to death. Like, I am a big believer in stability. I'm a bit like a big believer, make sure I got my cushion in the bank, make sure I'm putting my retirement stuff away and like being really stable. That scares me to death. That whole thought of, well, it's either use our house to, you know, as a backup to pay for this pay for this dump truck, or I have to do something else. Like, it's not for everybody is the point I'm getting at here. Right. It's just not for everybody.
Last one I'll hit, and then I'll let you get into where to start.
Actually, I'm going to do this. I want you to hit a lot of the where to start, because this is your thing, and I'll chip in where I can. But the last thing I'll say that you've got on your things, because the buck stops with you. You are at the highest level of responsibility. I can call up somebody right now if I don't know how to do something, or if I have a big question about, hey, how should I handle this? I can call somebody up. I can call my direct supervisor. I can call our business owner. I can, you know, and say, hey, how would you handle this? Or, hey, what do I need to do here? If you're the business owner, there's nobody you're calling. I mean, you can, you know, call friends or whatever that, you know, might be in a similar line of work, but who are you calling? Like, the buck stops with you. And there is again, to add to the point of this isn't for everybody, a lot of people don't want that responsibility. They don't want that level of weight on their shoulders. So like, it all hinges on you. You are at the highest level of responsibility. Again, with a lawsuit or, you know, something terrible happens, you're at the top. A lot of people would rather kind of push that up to somebody else. And so I'm glad you put this on there. That's a really big thing to consider.
There's a lot of stress with that. Yeah. You also have to have a level of, I guess, self-esteem in that, because guess what? If things go wrong, and I've had things go wrong in my business, it's on you. Who are you going to blame? Who do you turn and say, well, if they had done this, it's literally your business. If it goes south, it's on you, and you have to be willing to take that hit ego-wise, which is really, really difficult to do. And yes, it's a very humbling process, because the buck does stop with you. So I want to get into where to start and just give a few thoughts here on, let's say you decide this is for you. You've listened to the things to consider. You've probably gone, I'm hoping, way outside this podcast. Don't let a little, you know, 25, 30 minute podcast be the thing that pushes you one way or the other.
Hey, but if it does, we'd love a sponsorship.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Hit us up. But no, I mean, if you've done all the research, you've looked at all the stuff, you've watched the videos, you've read the books, and you have that passion, you say, man, I really want to do this. Where do I get started? First things first, in my opinion, specialize in something. You have to have a niche. You have to have what they call a blue ocean strategy, which is you're heading into the blue ocean like there's nobody there.
I've never heard of that before. It's interesting.
That's really important to have something that nobody else is doing. So take, for instance, cupcakes were all the rage, you know, for a while. If you didn't hit that on the way up, you see this with cookies, crumble cookies, and other things. They were getting into the cookie game. You saw it with bacon. You saw it sometimes with food. Other times, it's a specific trend that's just taking place. Mustaches there for a while. Everything's about mustaches. So if you hit that trend on the way up, good for you. There are other people, axe throwing is on it, it got real big. So you start one of those companies. Okay, is it a fad? Is it, you know, is this a trend? Is it going to stick around? You need to know those things. But if you don't specialize in something that, and if everybody else is doing it, it's called a saturated market.
Supply and demand.
It's supply and demand. Nobody's going to come. Why should they come to you? So the first things first, specialize in something. The reason
this is why you talk about photography so much is a very saturated market.
Correct. Correct. Everybody wanted to be a chef there for a bit. Okay. Well, when there are 10,000 of you, what makes you special? What causes you to stand apart? In my business, I decided early on as a therapist, I would specialize in sex addiction. Christian sex addiction with a trauma approach. I'm one of, especially in the Church of Christ, very few who do what I do. I basically can count on one hand and maybe like a few fingers how many people do what I do in the Church of Christ. That's not me patting myself on the back. That's me looking, going supply and demand. Where can I be used and what can I do in my private practice that's going to cause me to stand out? And that is a lot of people come to me for that specific issue, sex addiction. So they know that that's my specialty. They're not just coming for depression because everybody and their dog knows how to deal with depression in the therapy world. Very few know how to take a trauma-based approach on sex addiction, so specialize in something.
Yeah, that's really good. Next one I'll add is develop a business plan. So it's one thing to kind of have in your head why you're special or why your business is going to be needed. Putting it down on paper and the ability to describe to somebody else why your business is needed and why it's valuable. Elevator pitch is a big thing with this. Like, yeah. What's your elevator pitch?
Right.
A lot of this is you're putting your business plan down on paper. Did you do that before you started? Did you like write everything out and like what was your kind of strategy for that? I know we got a roll here.
No, you're curious. Good. No, I don't think actually I did. I wish I would have done this a little bit more on the business plan, but I had a very strong idea as to the steps along the way. I did not write them down. I knew in my mind what was needed and what steps I needed to take to get there.
Yeah.
And there's like one step that I have not taken just yet that I kicked around and I need to. But other than that, I've pretty much done everything along the way. So I would say to your point, write this down. And specifically, why is this needed? I think that's a very important thing. It goes to the specialty. If you can tell me, if you can sit down, I love that elevator pitch. Like if you can sit down and tell me in 1 minute why this company matters to you, there's like a billion people that have a passion. That doesn't translate well to business unless you're willing to take the risk and all of these things. And unless you are specializing in something, in my opinion, you're stepping into a market that you, if you're going to do something that's not specialty, you really need a business plan. Why are you set apart from everyone else out there doing the same exact thing? Well, I just wanted to capitalize on the flow. Yet most of those go up and they come down. And if you don't ride the wave down and if you're not great at something and you're not the one name that stands above the rest, you'll go down with the rest of them. How many cookie places and cupcake places went out of business?
A lot
of them because they rode the wave up, made some money, and they lost it all. Beware of those things.
Yeah. You keep going.
Next one is get connected. You have to have business people. You have to know people that, you know, I reached out to a few people. I don't know if I'd call them mentors. We didn't talk all that much, but enough where I was able to shoot some questions back and forth.
This is where networking is so important.
Networking is very important when you're first getting started because you know nobody and you need to know people in the industry and people that know something about the industry. So get connected. Get financial backing. I'm actually curious on yours. I'll ask you this question. You know, on financial backing, you're much more the financial guru. What are your thoughts on getting a loan, a business loan? And I know we're coming from two different perspectives.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the loan side of the financial backing?
This is so interesting. Obviously, you know, Dave Ramsey is, we've talked about him on other financial podcasts. He's a big no loan guy. Don't go into debt. I understand why Ramsey says that. For the most part, I would agree with that. I do think there is a time and a place to leverage debt. I'll give you a quick example. My wife and I just actually financed a vehicle that we could have paid cash for. The reason is because we talked to a lot of people, a lot of really smart people that said financially it doesn't make sense to pull $25,000 out of the market right now with the projected kind of increase we're going to see just to pay cash for a car. And so, again, Dave Ramsey would say the opposite. And so that's an example. You'd only bring that up to say that's an example of you kind of leverage your assets, you're leveraging debt for a specific purpose. Similarly, so I guess my answer to this would be if you have a really solid business plan, if you've got, if you're really confident in this, I think getting a loan is probably safe. Not safe. It's fine to do. If you're still kind of like, I'll figure a lot of this out or kind of a wing it mentality, that does not bode well for a loan. I mean, again, there's a lot of people who took out business loans that bankrupt and not able to pay them back. And so, I don't know. You didn't have to take out a loan, I'm guessing, for yours, did you?
No, I mean, my parents basically were my loan. That was the nice thing is my dad was able to fund certain things. mine was mainly the education,
yeah,
you know, and getting started. And then it was just networking and, you know, kind of
putting. I think you need to have a very solid plan in place to get the, to get your business going, to be able to pay the loan back and to be able to get above water and make a profit really soon. If it's a, well, we'll see in a few years where we're at type of thing. Good luck.
Most banks aren't going to give you a loan if your business plan stinks.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you that. That's true. They're going to look at it and go, you know nothing of what you're talking about. So if you're going to go to the bank and get a loan on that, a lot of these aren't going to take a loan like mine. They're not going to take a loan. What they're going to take is elbow grease, you know, type of thing, which I guess I'm a white collar, so I probably don't, not elbow grease, but
hard work. Yeah.
Hard work. You are working a ton. We already spoke to this. So I don't want to beat a dead horse, but genuinely, like if you're sitting around and you are putting all the chips in, right? You're all in on this project and you want to start your own business and you're working 30 hours a week and you're barely making ends meet, but you know, hey, well, it's comfortable and I'm just waiting for the next big thing to roll in. Get back out there, start knocking doors type of thing. Like, and you also, you can wait on the marketing. I think marketing can be important, but I will tell you, my dad barely did any marketing for the first 30 years and I don't do any marketing. Referral base is a big thing.
So, if you're good at what you do, people will talk about it.
And I don't, yeah, I mean, I don't want to be arrogant in that way. Like, I'm sure I'm not the greatest therapist out there for sure, and I'm sure I've made some mistakes along the way, but at the end of the day, yeah, I don't market myself for that reason, because I have so much referral base that comes in. That's okay. That's something that you can plan on, that if you're really good at this, you know, and if you start, nobody's really good at the beginning, neither was I, but like nobody was great at it. But you will grow that way.
I'm curious if you had to take out like a $100,000 business loan, if that's something that would have really scared you away from it.
I still think I would have, sounds bad, I think I would have bet on myself still and done it. At the same time, yeah, I would have, that would have absolutely been something to consider. It kind of depends on what you're going into. If you're going to, you know, you're making toys or whatever else, you're going to need some capital initially to be able to build the toy, get the materials and things like that. For mine, I didn't need it. Every business is going to be different on the taking out a loan. But yeah, I think I still would have, because I did bet, you know, I do want to bet on myself. And even if my business goes south, I've built enough connections where I don't think I'll ever go back to full bankruptcy, because I have my hands in multiple pies with, you know, with different places that have offered jobs and things like that. So the last thing we have on here, be willing to take calculated risks. We already spoke to the risk part, but you will have to take calculated risks. Bet on yourself. If you're willing to work 100 hours a week, if you have a family, that's a lot harder. There are a lot of times where I will leave in the morning and not see my kids the entire day. I'm not thrilled with that. We talk on the podcast how important this is. That's something I'm trying to actively work on. You have to be aware of that, though, that you're, when, you know, I'm working 13-hour days or whatever it is, and I come home, they're already in bed. I didn't see them once that entire day as I've been at the office. Those are sacrifices that sometimes you're going to have to make when you're starting your own business, because you don't have the luxury of sitting back going, well, I'd rather not today. Well, do you want to get paid or do you not? Right. Yeah. Just once again, things to consider. But that's where we would start, is figure out if you specialize in something, develop the business plan, get connected with people and ask a lot of questions up front. Try to become an expert early on, and then get financial backing if necessary, and then be willing to take those calculated risks along the way. There's so many other things. This is broad reaching. That's why they have like Big Book for Dummies on starting businesses. Like, we are the dummies that
we didn't answer all your questions in our 30-minute podcast.
Not in the least, but we hope we gave you some things to think about, at least.
I don't have much to add here. Again, Joe is the expert. This is one of those things that, you know, will I ever have a business loan to open up my own restaurant? Yeah, probably not. Like, that just does not appeal to me, the risk associated with that. And, you know, it's just not really my thing.
And that's perfectly fine.
More of a stability type of guy. But, you know, who knows? Maybe there's an opportunity to open up where I'll be financially stable enough. I'll be financially stable enough to maybe try my hand, maybe put myself out there a little bit. I don't know. But my point is, you know, Joe and I are very similar in a lot of ways. We're different in that way. It's not for everybody. And so we just wanted to put this episode together because we know it's going to be on young men's minds, at least at some point, most likely, of, hey, should I do this? Should I not? And we think it's an exciting thing. It's something I think you should consider. You just need to be very careful with the decisions you make.
You have to take both sides into consideration. You can see all the positives, sky's the limit, and this is great, and I don't have to be beholden to anybody. Nobody can fire me. That's fantastic. You have to consider the other side before you just jump headfirst into it. I know a lot of men, young guys, are excited about that prospect. We're just saying, consider these things. We're not trying to scare you out of it. We're not trying to talk you into it. We're merely trying to provide both sides of it, saying, I'm really glad, actually, that there's a lot of guys that are considering entrepreneurship. But yeah, we need to be smart with it. You know, we need to be calculated with it, things like that.
Last thing I'll say, the positive thing about it, we just had an episode on developing the four types of strength. it really strengthens you in a lot. I'm sure it's not me speaking from experience, but like, it's going to test your mental strength. Oh, it's going to test your emotional strength. Absolutely. In some cases, it might test your physical strength. Like, it's going to test these things a whole lot more than maybe just working, you know, a normal job would. So that's in the pro column spiritual for strength. Sure.
I mean, you've got to be praying a lot for God's direction in the business. And sometimes you only get through on prayer. I mean, I guess we're always only getting through on prayer, but sometimes it really feels like the hand of God has to be in to get you through these tough moments. So, yeah, I don't think we have anything else to add.
Take us home.
This has been episode 94 of the Galilean Man podcast. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening.